Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all have one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 554th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And today's message is titled, 2022 Endgame Update Number 18. And then later in this message, folks, after we cover all the news that you'll never hear on the fake news, we're going to tie it all into what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, where he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, change your life, folks, because God's kingdom is here. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we are all members of a group, whether we know it or not. And the group we associate with influences our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Now, who doesn't want righteousness, peace, and joy? Well, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. And it's here, and it's now. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So, folks, living with righteousness, peace, and joy in the midst of all this craziness right now is possible if, number one, you're in the Spirit. And number two, you're hanging out with the right crowds. Don't miss out the truth on this matter. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity and stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media never tells you as we dive deeper and deeper into all of these new 9/11 events that are unfolding all around us in slow motion. Wow, on steroids, folks. But remember how it all started. It all started with that media-manipulated, lab-engineered coronavirus heist. Now, as we do every week for folks, before we get into the news, let's review something from a past episode. Now, just last week, we listened to George Carlin, that clip from the HBO special, The American Dream. And he said it like it is, folks. They don't care about you and me. The government isn't here to help us. In fact, they want to kill us. They truly do. If you look at everything that's going on in this world, you have to really conclude at the end of it all that that's what they want. They want massive population reduction, and they want to own the world.
What? What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul, I'm as serious as the sun, which is shining outside right now so beautifully, just lighting up the foliage. And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day we have in western Pennsylvania. But yes, Paul, there's a plan for global population reduction to between 500 million to 1 billion people worldwide. Now, right now, we're somewhere around 7.5 billion people here on Earth. So that means that one out of every 15 people living today will survive. In other words, 14 people out of every 15 people. Think about that. 15 people. Look at a group of 15 people and imagine only one surviving. Folks, that's their plan. Now, you may be saying, well, how? How are they going to do it? Well, by bioweapons, like the spike protein that spawned the scamdemic through severe acute respiratory syndrome, the lethal jabs, famine, water shortages, fuel shortages, civil unrest, and ultimately, if need be, war. Now, there's more than one way to wage war, folks. There's the conventional kinetic war, there's info wars, there's psyop wars, and there's silent weapons for quiet wars. But more on that later. Right now, what I'd like to do is replay the George Carlin clip
I think that's very important. Now, there is a profanity warning, folks. So remember, if you have any young people listening right now, George Carlin says it like it is, but he has to spice it up with a little bit of profanity. So please shield your innocent young children or grandchildren if they're listening, and let's have a listen again to George Carlin from The American Dream.
American bullshit.
America's leading industry is still the manufacture, distribution, packaging, and marketing of bullshit. This country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly full of shit.
There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever be fixed. Because the owners of this country don't want that.
This country is owned by 800 or 900 people who run everything, do everything, control everything. It's all one big ownership class in this country.
We're led to feel free by the exercise of meaningless choices. Ice cream flavors, what do you want? We got 31. Got the flavor of the week, got the flavor of the month. But political parties, we're down to 2.
Politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have owners. They own you. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. It's a big club. And you ain't in it. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Americans have been bought off and silenced by toys and gizmos. With our microwave hot dogs and plastic vomit, fake dog shit and cinnamon dental floss and lemon-scented toilet paper and sneakers with lights in the heels. Millions of semi-conscious Americans day after day shopping and eating. It's the new national pastime. Fuck baseball. It's consumption.
So where do people think these politicians come from? They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders.
Machine gun bacon.
That's what the owners count on. They want obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime. Then now they want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
Of course, there's a reason why we're all drugged. The drug companies want it that way.
The drug industry has us taking things to get awake, things to go to sleep, things to pep up, things to forget about the grief you had from something.
See, they have the drug problem in this country. Where do you hear that? At the drugstore.
You don't have to be a political scientist to see the bigger dick foreign policy theory at work. It goes something like this. What? They have bigger dicks? Bomb them! That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people.
Industry, isn't that roughly our job everywhere? We kind of free people and whip industry on them so that they can have all the benefits of industry that we have come to love.
There's something nobler they could do to be helping this planet heal. You know,
Mother Earth, raped again. Guess who? Hey, she was asking for it.
By the way, there's another bunch of homeless coming soon when the housing bubble bursts and the dollar gets devalued. We'll get a lot of middle-class homeless.
I said a long time ago, when fascism comes to America, it won't wear jackboots and brown shirts. It'll have on a smiley face and a T-shirt and designer jeans and Nikes.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to have 2 new requirements for being on the police. Intelligence and decency. You never can tell. It might just work. It certainly hasn't been tried yet. That's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. Race, religion, sexuality. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. Anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At
all.
The
table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged.
Land of the free, home of the brave. All men are equal. Justice is blind. The good guys win. and everything is going to be just fine. It's called the American Dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Thank you, George Carlin. You know, he was 100% correct when he said that the powers that be want no critical thinking in the population. And, folks, that's the core of the problem. They want no critical thinking. They want no activity, no action. What they want is passivity. And they don't care which side of the fence you're on, so to speak. They just want you in your corral, whether it's the conspiracy corral, whether it's the blue pill. Hey, everything the government says is for my benefit, so if they tell me to take a death jab, I guess I'm going to take a death jab. Whatever it is, folks, that's where they want you. But they want you immobilized in your corral doing nothing. Now, a lot of people in the freedom movement are stuck in a corral of information. They're in information overload, folks. And in this past week, I saw a horrible side effect of this phenomenon. And it involved a clip from the Davos 2022 featuring Klaus Schwab and the CEO Albert Bourla from Pfizer. And it went viral, but there's one snag. It wasn't real. So I have that clip. And it went viral. And unfortunately, what happened is the InfoWars team picked it up and used it as the opener to an emergency broadcast last Saturday before Memorial Day. So this is a minute and 53-second clip, because then he segues into another clip from Tedros, who said that the jab is killing babies. I'll comment on this after you listen to it. But this is something that's very sad, and I'll get into why after you listen to it. And remember, and here's a disclaimer, this is misinformation. This is disinformation. This is not real, and it was put out by the truth movement.
There are profits, but let's talk about the real end game of collapsing things. Here's the CEO of Pfizer talking about the goal to reduce population by 50%, and then here's Tedros admitting that the vaccines kill children, the head of the WHO.
I think that it's really a fulfillment of a dream that we had together with my leadership team when we started in 19. The first week we met in January of 19 in California and to set up the goals for the next 5 years. And one of them was by 2023, we will reduce the number of people in the world by 50%. I think today this dream is becoming reality.
So it's really a purpose-driven company. And
it's emerging now of its benefits, especially with elderly groups, senior citizens, especially above 65 and above 60. So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right. Then the equity issue comes here. Instead of boosting a child in high-income countries, it's better to vaccinate the elderly in countries who have the elders who have not been vaccinated, even the primary vaccines. So the equity issue should also come into play.
From media team, and also, as said, we try really to keep.
All right, so the goal is to implement depopulation by 50%, and he says we've done that in our 100-year goal.
Now, they do have a 100-year goal. It's true. And the truth is that they do want to reduce population, and even more than 50%. In fact, try 95%. That's about where it really is.
Gosh, golly, golly, gosh.
Yeah, Gomer, that's right. Golly, I mean, that's amazing. Can you imagine the demonic mindset that one must have to say, we know best, and the best thing for this world is to kill 95% of all the people? Seriously, that's what they're saying. But the truth also is that this clip was doctored. Five words were removed from the comment made by Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla when he says he wants to reduce the world population by 50%. He didn't really say that, folks. So Bourla was speaking at the WEF conference, the Davos conference. You know, that kind of replaced Bilderberg. Actually, it was founded by Bilderberg, but that's a whole other story. Maybe we'll do that some week. So Bourla was speaking with founder Klaus Schwab of the WEF. And the point here is, folks, that that video all over the truth movement right now was an altered video, a doctored video. They made it so that Bourla appeared to say, we set up the goals for the next 5 years, and one of them was that by 2023, we will reduce the number of people in the world by 50. And today, I think this dream is becoming a reality. That was wrong. Here's what he actually said. So I have the actual clip taken from the WEF's website. Here it is right here. It's a 32-second clip. So I'm just parsing that one part of it, and I don't have the Tedros clip in there, you know, the head of the WHO. Just listen to what Pfizer executive CEO Albert Bourla actually said concerning a 50% reduction.
Really fulfilling of a dream that we had together with my leadership team when we started in 19. The first week we met in January of 19 in California and to set up the goals for the next 5 years. And one of them was by 2023, we will reduce the number of people in the world that cannot afford our medicines by 50%. I think today this dream is becoming a reality.
So that's what Bourla actually said. In fact, it gets even sicker if you listen further. About 6 minutes later, you hear Klaus Schwab admit that his organization has many, many children. And he's referring to all of the planted leadership he has around the governments of the Western nations, people that have gone through his Young Global Leader School. But that's a whole story for another day, too, and we've covered that in the past. My point here is that this information is not true, and it gives us a black eye. Now, I believe the Tedros clip is also fake, and the reason I tell you that is if you look at the altered video of Bourla speaking, where they took those five words out, there's a watermark on it that says roughly, and that same watermark is on the Tedros clip, and I've looked all over the internet for that Tedros clip, and other than that, I can't find it. So, folks, the World Health Organization, just like the World Economic Forum, have their own YouTube channels. And there's no excuse for this type of thing happening in the truth movement. None. Like I always tell you, like my mentor Bill Cooper always told me, like a lot of people in the truth movement say, don't believe them. Do your own research. We have to avoid this type of stuff, folks, because what it does is it compromises our credibility when we're out there as so-called purveyors of truth. Now, Alex Jones has a fairly big organization. I know it's under attack, but I think this is inexcusable. This was aired on InfoWars. It's been exposed as a fraud. I really believe if InfoWars wants to maintain their credibility in the truth movement, they need to do a retraction. Folks, my cell phone, and I took that clip that Bourla was saying from the WEF, and I edited out those five words very smoothly on my phone. So this means one of two things. Either that video produced by Rupley was doctored and the actual spreading of misinformation, or more likely, I think this producer, Rupley, read between the lines and doctored the video to accurately represent the message of the globalists and what they're trying to send. Now, I know that might sound like a stretch, but we know, we've covered this from the whole teaching a lesser magic, that the globalists like to use this method to unveil their plan ahead of time. And they brag about it as it unfolds. So you can draw your own conclusion on why this video was altered. But the bottom line, folks, is that the video was truly doctored. And I hope InfoWars mans up about this. And I hope that they tell the truth. So even if you believe that's what the producer Rupley intended by this modification, it's not right. So there's no righteousness in it. And what's it do to our peace and joy? But I'm going to leave it up to the listeners and the viewers of that video to make and draw their own conclusions. I'm just telling you that it was edited. And that's going to be used as ammunition by the establishment to say, look, this truth movement isn't truth. It's a lie. So please, please remember, InfoWars says it all the time. We are the resistance. And that video on InfoWars was only about 5,000 views away from a million views. The benefit of all the social media platforms. That was on bandvideos.com, I believe it was. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. I do trust Alex Jones and others in the Truth Movement more than I do the establishment and YouTube and the mainstream media. And don't even get me started on Pfizer. Pfizer simply cannot be trusted. Think about it. YouTube doesn't even allow any discussion concerning the fraudulent PCR tests or the rapid tests, and they spread misinformation. Remember, they've got Biden all over YouTube telling you that once you're vaccinated, you won't get COVID. And we know that's not true. Bottom line, folks, stay on the path of righteousness. Stay on the path of joy. And when you do, you'll have peace. But when you get off of it, and when you bend the truth, when you start doing little white lies, you're going to lose your peace. And it's very important that we stay in that state of mind, you know, peace. So important right now. But we have to keep moving. Right now it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's get started with the coronavirus hype.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to this coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and minds.
So what we need to do, folks, just say no. Now, as the listeners to this podcast ought to know, and the regular listeners are very informed, very knowledgeable, you ought to know now by now that Pfizer has been ordered by the courts through a FOIA request to release, what was it, tens of thousands of pages of research data on their death jab. And as a result of this court order, tens of thousands of pages of extremely damaging data have been dropped about every month now. And it looks like by the end of the year, they're going to have most of this out. Now, Pfizer wanted to spend 75 years releasing this data, but the court said no. So what we're learning from the Pfizer COVID vaccine research is that it's pocked full of all sorts of warnings that this death jab is neither safe nor effective. In fact, the most recent release is so damning that a news group titled LifeNews.com, and we use them, I've referenced them in the past, they have pulled out and parsed one of the studies that was included in this document dumped by Pfizer that included 270 pregnant women. Now, the first 34 that were studied in this population of 270 pregnant women reported that the numbers were so hideous that they essentially dropped the study. Here's what they found. Out of those first 34, what was it, 25, I believe it was? I didn't highlight it in the article here. Out of the first 34 that were studied, Pfizer reported that a startling majority of the unborn died after the pregnant women were injected with the Pfizer death jab. And that's really their point. They want to sterilize. They want to cause spontaneous abortions in these pregnant women. And they want to essentially neuter the youth in our world so that they can't bear children. That's what's happening here. Now, the data was so bad that it literally betrays the narrative that they had that it is safe and effective. Now, isn't it sad that so-called honest companies will adjust numbers? And then you have dishonest companies like Pfizer, that simply manipulate the numbers to match any goal they have. I'm telling you, folks, as we see the COVID narrative lose steam, and it is literally losing steam, and if you want more information on this, I have to keep moving here, go over to LifeSite News and just type in shocking Pfizer document reveals 82% of vaccinated pregnant women suffered miscarriages. And it's all out there, and this is not made up. This is right out of the document from Pfizer. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that the COVID narrative and the promotion of the death jabs, it's losing steam. So what's an alternative? Well, maybe they're ready to move to Plandemic B. And what would Plandemic B be for a play on words, eh? Well, if you go to thenationalpulse.com, you'll see that Fauci's recent $10 million monkeypox grant kind of fits into everything else we see now with these press releases on monkeypox, the new thing to be afraid of. Natalie Winters on May 30th, came in over at the National Pulse, and she reported that Fauci's National Institute of Health, and when have we heard that? How many Senate investigations brought up the National Institute of Health, the NIH? Well, anyways, along with his other group, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, that's the NIAID group, they've come under scrutiny, you know, recently because of everything with the gain-of-function research and the Wuhan lab and the bats, you know, everybody knows that story by now. Well, it sounds like they've been doing some research on this bat virus, and it sounds like the bat virus has been bioengineered to become much more contagious to humans. And it's being funded by none other than the fraud Fauci. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You truly can't. I'm telling you, the global elite are desperate. And they're desperate because they know that too many people are waking up. Truth. And that's why it's so essential that we don't pass around misinformation. Do your research. Check out what I'm telling you. Make certain it's true. People are waking up. The globalists know their time is short. Short until the 100th monkey, so to speak, wakens. And there's this theory out there. It's called the 100th monkey. And they say that when 100 monkeys learn something, all of a sudden the entire population gets it. So the globalists are concerned that the 100th monkey wakes up and all of a sudden their plans are all exposed. So their time is short, short before their fiat money system implodes upon itself. You know, those things are transgenerational Ponzi schemes. Their time is short before the 2020 election fraud is fully exposed with things like 2,000 mules and some of the other information coming out. Now, they know their time is short. They know their time is short before Russia defeats Ukraine. Even the mainstream media now starting to talk about how the Russian army is gaining massive amounts of land in eastern Ukraine and decimating the industrial base, decimating the transportation system. And remember, after you get through eastern Ukraine, most of the West is nothing but farmland. Think about how short their time is. And remember, desperate people do desperate things. Now, I could go on and on about the scamdemic, but I think people are starting to wake up to the truth, though. But what I'd like to do is move on to our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's to flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before it would have done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So as you hear in the opener there, all this craziness, this Kabuki theater, all this craziness is meant to stir the pot. Now, we've been talking a lot about Project Bluebeam on and off for years. In fact, on the show with John Tribulation Now, we did entire shows on Project Bluebeam. Unfortunately, he deleted the archive. Thank you, John. All that work, all that opportunity, and for whatever reason, he just dropped hundreds of interviews with people like John Perkins, author of The Confessions of the Economic Hitman, Ralph Epperson, author of The Unseen Hand, and I could go on and on. You know, we had Rick Skiba on Now, unfortunately, he died. Rob Skiba, I mean. We had Rob Skiba on. So many others, all gone. But I don't want to get off on that rabbit hole. So, why don't we take a deep dive today into Project Bluebeam? And I found this article over at State of the Nation, and that's where this information came from. It was published last summer, and you can read it all over there, but I'd just like to cover some of it. It was done very, very well. It was by Revisionist Historians for World Peace, and it was an exclusive over State of the Nation. And they talked about things like staging a fake alien invasion using bogus UFOs and pre-recorded battles, and that's all done with this technology, this holographic technology known as Project Bluebeam. And they also detailed scenes between the U.S. Space Force and the AI-controlled cyborg-driven starships. So there's all sorts of scenarios out there that can actually use the sky as the movie screen to project these three-dimensional images of anything from an alien in a UFO to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, make no mistake about this, folks. There's a fierce war being waged right now in the top echelons of the UFO truther movement. Now, there's always been fierce debate about UFOs and extraterrestrial civilizations and first contact and disclosure and all that. You know, you got one camp that thinks it's real and there's like 50 species. And then there's another camp like me who see it as fallen angels in the Genesis 4 account and some of the other encounters that we see throughout the Bible of man's encounter with angels, both good and bad. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that there's a battle waged right now. And what's really at stake could be lost here by the side who doesn't maintain the high ground, so to speak. Well, all through last year, we saw a lot of information dumps on the mainstream media, highly choreographed series of events concerning UFOs and unprecedented disclosures by authorities. And we keep hearing about how the government's going to disclose, and then they retract, and then they're going to disclose. Well, never in all of American history has there ever been so many announcements by the establishment concerning UFO this or UFO that. 2021 was a high watermark in that. It's like the dam broke then regarding all these UFO events and all the information suppressed by the various agencies from NASA to NSA to the CIA to the FBI, as well as the U.S. military. Now, like I told you, I believe aliens and UFOs are real, but I believe they're fallen angels and their technology. But it's a very big story that the vast majority of the reports are actually doctored, and they're being doctored by the establishment to create this narrative. And they don't want you to know that it's fallen angels. They don't want you to know that the Bible accounted for this. They want you to think that our creators are coming back. Now, I really believe what I believe is viable and plausible when you read about like Ezekiel's will and a wheel, and you think about Enoch and how he walked in the coolness of the morning with the Lord and then he walked no more. You know, there's a lot to imply. How about when the heavens rolled back, when King David gave an account in one of the Psalms? So there's all this evidence that there are these technologies used by the angels, be they fallen, be they aligned with God, and they're being marketed and sold today to the public as, but that's why I believe they're fallen angels. Now, you can read about this technology that the fallen ones gave to man in Genesis 4. But what it actually means is that most of the UFOs today are probably man-made technologies that have been suppressed, and they're being tested whenever and wherever the powers that be choose to test them. We know about Area 51. Bill Cooper was really big on Area 51. This also means that the powers that be are getting very desperate and brazen enough right now to launch this long-planned Project Bluebeam. And if you want to read more about this, go to State of the Nation and read their article on Project Bluebeam of NASA, and you'll see more of these details on how the technology works. Now, Project Bluebeam is nothing less than the power elite's ultimate backup plan. And this is what I'm believing, folks, and this is what the author of the article said, too. Necessary to implement their globalist takeover in the event that the scamdemic didn't work. And I think, like I said, it's losing steam. And you can read about this in their article titled Project Blue Beam Exposed. I'm telling you, State of the Nation has some cutting-edge information, and they pull no punches. And you may be offended by some of the things you read out there. You may even get the flavor that's anti-Semitic. But just look at the information, and like I encourage you, check it out for yourself. So I'm telling you, it's crucial that a number of human beings get the prescribed number of doses of the death jab so they stay on track to meet their global depopulation agenda, and it looks like they're not meeting their goal. So the powers that be will most likely launch some invasion hoax in order to shock and awe the human race back into compliance, you know, allowing for lockdowns to protect you from the roving bands of aliens that'll take you and do research on you or whatever. So they're going to possibly use this down the entire planet. Folks, it was outlined by my mentor, William Cooper, in his classic book, Behold a Pale Horse. And he talked about it in a chapter where he covered silent weapons for quiet war, but a little bit more on that later. I'm telling you, this is the ultimate ordo ab cao, a plan, a ruse, gaslighting, to cause a stampede of the global population into their worldwide prison. And you can read about that on State of the Nation, too, in their disclosure project. So what the world's going through right now is crazy. And I think it's meant to wear people down. It's meant to have them just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, there's nothing I could do. And like I said, right now it looks like there's these two primary camps that are dominating the UFO truth community. One camp's covertly working for various government agencies in the Western New World Order gang, you know, the global cabal trying to put us into the Great Reset, and you know who they are. They're spewing disinfo, misinfo, and false info 24/7 on the mainstream media concerning UFOs and just truth seekers, people like you and me, who are on to the globalistic agenda for the 2030 reset, Great Reset, and they're on to the UFO charade. And I'd put these people in the same group of people who are waking up to the scamdemic. Now, folks, both sides are cogs in a machine driving us to the Great Reset. For example, there's this letter that was recently posted by a prominent attorney who's been associated with the Disclosure Project since the very beginning, and you can read about it on State of the Nation, too. It's in an article titled Official Statement Issued by Attorney Daniel Sheehan About Specific Disclosure Project Events and Associates. It's very good, and it clearly delineates and states that those who are all in with the U.S. government's disclosure narrative are probably the bad guys. So if you want to get into that more, check out all this info over on State of the Nation. Now, I'm telling you, folks, if they could keep the pandemic going on in perpetuity, they probably would until they got everybody fully vaccinated so that they could create this genetically modified race as part of their transhumanistic event and all the stuff that we hear Klaus Schwab and his minion talk about. But I don't think it's going to happen. So like I said, they're getting desperate because their narrative's falling apart. Their time is short. So these criminals are going to do whatever they have to save their skins. Remember, their multi-generational Ponzi scheme, better known as the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve note, it's about to collapse. So they need a scapegoat or even possibly multiple scapegoats. The bottom line here is that the explosion of the UFO disclosures and the possibility of the use of Project Blue Beam to bamboozle the masses, to gaslight the masses, is true. And I'll tell you, folks, it's going to be a CIA-orchestrated Hollywood production so dramatic that it's going to dupe the majority of the masses into believing that we need to trust the government to protect us from the big bad aliens. And then when ready, they're even going to fake the return of the Messiah. And it's all part of their Agenda 2030 plan that's now been rebranded as the Great Reset. So I'm telling you, It's never been as important as it is today to view all news reports, all stories you hear, all videos that you watch, and books that you read on the UFO phenomenon with the following understanding. Understand that a lot of this information is being purposely fabricated for the U.S. Space Force by all these supporting government agencies like the Air Force, NASA, CIA, as well as these lesser-known agencies like U.S. Space Command, Combined Force Space Component Command, Joint Task Force Space Defense, and I can go on and on. There's a whole list. And it's just clear, folks, to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and recognize the corrupt banksters as who they really are, that they are desperate and they are running out of time and they're going to start pulling some of these rabbits out of their hat to dupe the people into compliance. Now, the truth is that these people are corrupted by absolute power because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So these people power and control, and we haven't seen anything yet. So just be forewarned, folks. Get ready for the greatest show on earth because I believe it's going to happen soon, both in day and night, because it has to span the entire world, and the entire world has to be duped. Remember, Klaus Schwab and his minion, they're evil, wicked people. And that's all I can say about them, folks. They are wicked. They want to control the future. Schwab said that the future is ours. Remember he said that? I have a clip I've played last week, and I want to play it again this week on the future. And what Schwab said at Davos last week, let's see if I can find that. Future. I can find it. Usually I have these all queued up, folks, but sometimes I didn't plan to play this right now. So where do I? Yeah, the future is built by us. It's a one-minute clip. Have a listen.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world. But two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate. And this is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
There you heard it, out of the mouth of the demon himself. All of these powerful people need to participate and all must collaborate. And with the scamdemic falling apart, they will do anything they want, anywhere, anytime, to maintain their power. They have turned a blind eye to justice. They've turned a blind eye to truth. They are doing things that make me think that they're totally immune from justice. They act with absolute impunity. Just look at the verdict that came out this past week on the Sussman trial. Come on, folks. He admitted that he worked for Hillary Clinton, and he lied to the FBI about that, and he got off with a verdict of not guilty. So if they can pull that off in a court in Washington, D.C., do you think staging a fake alien invasion is any more crazy? It's all in a day's work for these demons, folks. Folks, I'm telling you a stark reality here. It's vital that each and every one of us, each and every day that we live, stay on guard about all of this deception that's coming up. It's a really strange scheme, this whole idea of an alien invasion. But folks, after everything we've seen in the past 2 years, is this any more crazy? I'm just asking you, I'm imploring you to be aware of this and be ready, because they're going to use some crazy stuff in their last ditch effort to establish one world government and impose a one world currency and the Great Reset, along with a one world religion upon mankind. And this is all foretold in the Bible, folks. And I could go on and on, but honestly, folks, I'm running out of time, and it's time now for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Where are you at, Henrietta? Hey, Henrietta, we got a beautiful day here in western Pennsylvania. I'm looking at the sunlight come through the, it was a forest behind my house, and the sunlight's coming through the leaves. They haven't fully opened yet. You see these beautiful patches of light on the grass, grass in shade, and you get this light grass, you know, very bright grass in the light, and it's just a very stunning image outside my window here. But anyways, Henrietta, you'll be out there soon. So I've been saying week after week that we can win this. And several weeks ago, I talked about how we can win this truth war by taking back our local and county governments. And by doing so, and by using our local governments to, on a governmental level, implement noncompliance to these globalist agendas that are coming on, coming down from the top, we can take them back. And then the Reese Report, thank you, Greg Reese. Greg Reese put out a report on the plan to take back America. I listened to it because I like what he does. And wouldn't you know that it's basically everything I'd been talking about? So here's a 4 minute and 39 second clip from the Reese Report outlining a plan to take back America.
In Davos, Switzerland, Klaus Schwab and his fellow wannabe tyrants have come out into the open as the arbiters of world government. They are openly calling for world war and the end of national sovereignty. And they openly acknowledge that they must move quickly to be victorious. Many are celebrating the fact that the people of Sri Lanka are rising up against their corrupt politicians, burning their homes and destroying city property. But this is nothing to celebrate. This is exactly what the World Economic Forum is hoping for. They want governments to be destroyed and the people to lose all faith in the nation-state. Their plan is to starve the people into destroying their own governments so they can act as saviors. It is important for Americans to realize that the current administration is not failing at all. They are accomplishing exactly what they set out to do. They did not steal the 2020 election to secure power. They did it to destroy America and destabilize the entire system. And they are rapidly succeeding. The voices calling for violence are as ignorant and mad as they sound. Violence towards who? How will you organize? And who are you going to fight? Your brainwashed sheep neighbors? That is exactly what the globalists want you to do. And if your plan is to wait until they come to your door, then you'll just be a dangerous animal in a cave on someone else's private property. But there are solutions. For example, before passing in March of 2022, the great Jordan Maxwell's last project was to save America from global governance with America 21. America 21's mission is to gut the system of globalist interference and reclaim all of America by 2025. So that we can rebuild our agriculture, production, and energy, and become a self-sufficient nation that serves the people. America 21 is calling for a complete withdrawal from all treaties and influences of the United Nations and World Economic Forum. Washington, D.C. is just a symbol of our old corrupt federal government. The new world leaders are living abroad, and the only way they can control us is through the compliance of our local governments. According to America 21, your focus needs to be where you live, in your county and city. Global governance ultimately depends on your county being taken over. This is where you need to resist now. This is how the United Nations and the globalists have been doing it, and it's the only way to properly reverse it. America 21 has been having success in Montana, and they freely share their working model and support at America21Century.com, such as learning what language to look for in your local governments to detect UN initiatives and protocols being deployed by your local officials. Keywords such as 2030, sustainable development, and carbon neutral. Your local officials have to live with you, and in most cases, will prefer to keep their jobs. Our voting system may be broken, but our elected officials still work for us. And if enough of us come together, we can put the pressure on them to renounce global governance and to serve the will of the people. This is the law of the land. It really is just that simple. But we have to come together and get active. Americans have a choice. We can either take action to purge the system of corrupt politicians and their thugs, or we can stop complaining about them and be good slaves. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
So I encourage
Thank you for watching the latest Greg Reese Report. Be sure to go to ReeseReport.com to see my latest videos, sign up for my free newsletter, and subscribe for exclusive content. And be sure to support my sponsor at InfoWarsStore.com.
I wanted to add that last part because I think Greg Reese has some excellent information out there, and I encourage you all to go to GregReese.com. He has a Substack page. He has a, I think he's on Rumble. So you can get all of his clips there. They download. You can share them. There are short little five-minute primers on all of these topics. And by the way, he mentioned Jordan Maxwell there. Well, Jordan Maxwell was a good friend of my mentor, William Cooper, and I learned a lot off of Jordan Maxwell. They're both gone now. God rest their souls. And we need to pick up the torch and carry on, folks. And remember, the county sheriff holds the master key. And by that, I mean, if your sheriff is a constitutional conservative, then your county will be all right because he is the top law enforcement official in your county. He supersedes the state. He supersedes the federal government. And he can tell them all to go pound salt. So vote in the good guys, folks, and take out any liberals in your school districts, in your local government. And bottom line, if your county sheriff is not a constitutional conservative, he needs to be replaced immediately. And if he's up for reelection in the midterms, find out who's against him. And if that individual is a constitutionalist, support him and get the word out. Because we can take this back one county at a time. There's 3,000 so many counties in this country. And we need one to stand up with a grand jury and begin to expose this, folks. We can do this. And that's how we secure our freedom. Plus, avoid any attempt to replace your three-county commission with an executive through a team known as Moral Charter. I'm telling you, folks, that's right from the pit. That's Marxist ideology from the start. I fought that 25 years ago here in Armstrong County. And thank God we beat it, because that's bad, folks. But right now, and by the way, remember to check out America 21, because that's where you can get information and support on how to take back your local government. And I'm telling you, folks, that's what we need to do. We do not need to revolt. We do not need to have an insurrection of any sort. They want that. Remember, Ordo Ab Caeo, we need to take this back one elected official at a time, starting with our local level. And that's what we need to do. And we need to have those ballots counted. We need to have them watched. And you can do that when you're only looking at 800 to 3,000 votes for a local official in your district or your region. So, folks, please, please, please do it. But right now, it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, this week there was a bombshell interview on Fox News. And I'll tell you, Fox has gotten really bad. And they have this host now, Sandra Smith, could be a talking head for CNN or MSNBC. That's how pathetic she is. Now, she Mo Brooks, he's one of the Republican runoff candidates running for Senate in Alabama in the primary elections. And this interview was so horrible, folks, that, it, like I said, it's something you'd expect to see on CNN. That's how far Fox News has fallen. And she was attempting to paint Brooks and 150 Republican members of Congress as conspiracy theorists concerning the 2020 election theft. And that's what it was, folks. Now, her first attempt to discredit Brooks happened when she told him that the courts couldn't find any evidence of widespread fraud. And then Brooks shot right back. So I'd like to listen to this. It's about 2.5 minutes long. It's crazy. Here it is.
And just to go on the record, there has been still no evidence or proof provided that there was any sort of fraud in that.
Well, no, that's wrong. I don't know why you people in the media keep saying that, but that is absolutely false. That is absolutely false. You keep saying it every time, but that's absolutely false.
What is false, sir?
You had 150 congressmen and senators who absolutely disagreed with you on what you just said. So what are you calling them? What are you calling them when you say 150 Republican senators and congressmen looked at the voter fraud issue and said there was a major problem? What are you calling the Commission on Federal Election Reform, a bipartisan committee with Jimmy Carter on the one hand and James Baker, Ronald Reagan, White House Chief of Staff on the other, back in 2005, who analyzed the systemic weaknesses, the systemic flaws in our election system, and warned us that elections are going to be stolen if we don't fix these problems, and those problems were not fixed.
Okay.
So I don't know who's telling you there's no evidence, but that tells me you haven't done your homework. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
The courts and the judges that have...
time out. Don't go into that. Don't go into that.
All right.
Don't go into that.
Up, though,
the courts do not
note...
have the... Wait a minute. No. I'm getting in the last word on this one because you just made a false statement, okay? The courts are not the final arbiter of who wins federal election contests. Congress is. That is required by the United States Constitution. That is required by the United States Code for congressmen and senators and the president. So don't be surprised that courts usurp the power that is authorized the United States Congress.
Let me just quote the GOP commissioner in Wisconsin in the Wall Street Journal today, printed, and I will read it verbatim. He said, there is no evidence that election fraud is the reason Trump lost in Wisconsin, and that is not for lack of looking. His advice to your party is to pivot away from these conspiracy theories, focus on the issue that affects Wisconsin families and their pocketbooks. Sir, I want to move on to January 6th.
Okay, then look at the judge's opinion. Look at the judge's opinion in Pennsylvania that talked about over 2 million illegal ballots cast. That was their court order. Look at the special investigation of a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who found significant voter fraud at nursing homes in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Look at the 2000 Mules documentary that has come out. Look at how many mass mail-out of ballots there were across the United States for which we have no security.
Okay, and that has been looked at and fact-checked by multiple outlets, including Reuters, who have debunked that as any sort of proof that there was widespread voter fraud.
I'm sorry, but
there.
Other
January
people have fact-checked it and find you absolutely wrong, Sandra.
January
but keep going
6th.
With that story if you
crazy, folks. You know, Sandra Smith is nothing but a hack. She's a hack establishment, folks. And the idea that she puts any credibility in fact-checking by Reuters, I don't even know what to say. Folks, Reuters is a liberal leftist news organization based in Europe. They have no credence here in the United States, and they have no authority whatsoever as purveyors of truth concerning the Fourth Estate. Smith is nothing but a mouthpiece for the globalistic Murdoch family. And frankly, I don't care what Reuters has to say about anything because they've already exposed their agenda. Think about it. Somebody shouting debunked, that doesn't mean anything was debunked. They never talk about any actual facts or evidence. Almost always, well, this person said they thought ABC. This person said XYZ. So when anyone from Fox News Network says they used Reuters as their source, your critical thinking flag ought to go up, and this means that they're not doing their homework. They're not truly journalists. They're just mouthpieces for the establishment. It's their way of admitting that they're more of the rhino propaganda network, so to speak. And I guess that investigative journalism isn't in their repertoire anymore. It's pathetic what's going on. So I think we could all use a good laugh right now. So I've stumbled on this video clip, and it's in Hopium also. And I put that in Hopium because I see Mo Brooks out there really beating the drum of election fraud. And if the 100th monkey hears it, folks, we're going to wake up. So it's all about the 100th monkey. And I think this song, Gaslight Me with PsyOps, is another example of how music can be used to wake up the sleeping giant, better known as We the People. So let's have a listen to this.
Fourth generational warfare. Manipulating someone online.
Manufacturing emotion.
I like that.
Propaganda is persuading me. They guided me with psyops.
Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops. They weaponized psychology. Yeah.
Hey. 201 mass shootings, and it's only May.
The truth.
This will be weaponized.
When I'm watching news of war,
that's disinformation.
False flag operation.
Internet trolls.
Disinformation.
The psychological operation.
Access and affecting the brain.
Unelected criminals.
Propaganda.
It's become a tool of war.
Psychological Operations Group.
Psychological Operations.
In reaction to the thing. Now here comes a solution. Your brain is a commodity.
The PSYOP soldiers.
They're guiding me with PSYOP.
She's playing within the rules.
They're guiding me with PSYOP.
That seems dishonest.
PSYOP troops have been placed in CNN's newsroom.
I'm not sure who opposes that effort.
I think you're describing a different channel than the one that I watch.
Good heavens, misinformation. You're beautiful. I don't believe it. Here they go again. They scrubbed the web, and now I can't find anything. My attitude, my desires, more pamphlet notes. They radicalized my notions.
Information boards.
You're calling it conspiracy. Asleep in the commotion. Your silence is alarming me. Oh, gaslighting me with PSYOP. Gaslighting me with PSYOP. Gaslighting me with
PSYOP. Psychological operations.
Inside that brain of yours.
information online.
Folks, I believe that love is the answer, but you ought to own a handgun just in case.
Folks, that was excellent. I encourage you to go out there. It's on Rumble. And just type in Gaslight Me with PsyOps and watch the video as you listen to that music. My favorite line out of there was they've weaponized emotions, and that's exactly what they've done. Folks, we talked about that last week with The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis's warning on how they are going to deconstruct humanity and eliminate the soul. And the goofball, the shill from the WEF, Yuval Noah Harari himself, is all about that. And I'm going to cover that here in the next segment, our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So, folks, we've heard this shill over and over. His name is Yuval Noah Harari, and there's a clip out right now. You can find it on Twitter, and it basically says, the biggest question, what to do with all these useless people? Now, from some of the books that have actually been banned, and one of them is The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, it's actually been taken out of Cooper's latest edition of his classic Behold a Pale Horse. But they actually use the term useless eaters in there, folks. The problem is, and this is continuing Yuval Noah Harari's quote, the problem is bored and what to do with them when they are worthless. I guess it is a combination of drugs and computer games. So listen to this two-minute clip of this demon. I think he's evil personified. Talk about us like we're nothing but cattle. And they do. They, in some of their documents, they refer to us as goyim, useless eaters. But listen to this.
The biggest question, in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades, will be what to do with all these useless people. The problem is more boredom. And what to do with them? And how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless? My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games as a solution for more. It's already happening. In under different titles, different headings, you see more and more people spending more and more time or solving their inner problems with drugs and computer games, both legal drugs and illegal drugs. You look at Japan today, and Japan is maybe 20 years ahead of the world in everything. And you see all these new social phenomenon of people having relationships with virtual spouses. And you have people who never leave the house and just live through computers. I think once you're superfluous, you don't have power. Again, we are used to the age of the masses of the 19th and 20th century, where you saw all these successful, massive uprisings, revolutions, revolts. So we are used to thinking about the masses as powerful. But this is basically a 19th century, a 20th century phenomenon. I don't think that the masses, even if they somehow organize themselves, stand much of a chance. We are not in Russia of 1917 or in 19th century Europe. what we are talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible.
That's enough of that. The guy goes on and on. He's a demon, folks. He's the manifestation of evil itself. When somebody can have that audacity, he's a godless man who's shaking his fist at our creator God, Jehovah Elohim. And I'm telling you, this man is pure evil. He's evil personified. They have weaponized emotions, and this man understands how to manipulate people. But folks, I have to keep moving. Right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. So with everything going on and what we've covered here from Project Blue Beam to silent weapons for quiet wars with we're going to cover in Back to the Future, and all the information that's been coming out about the Uvalde shooting down in Texas, and God bless those families, and the whole program called I just forgot the name of the program. We mentioned it last week. Oh, it'll come back to me, folks. But this was all in Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse. So I'd like to share a little bit about William Cooper. He was my mentor. He was a former United States Navy, and he had lots of information that he was able to see with his own eyes because of his top secret security clearance. And, you know, he mentioned on the show time and time again that there are security clearance levels above him, but he was able to look at some of these top secret government files that go back to the 1940s. Now, his audience was primarily the listeners to his weekly radio broadcast aired on WWCR, and then he started to satellite uplink it. It was called The Hour of the Time, and you can still see it all out there. Some of the people that were big supporters of Mr. Cooper actually picked up the torch, so to speak, and they're carrying it on. And you can get his book there, the original edition, as a PDF, and I encourage you to do that. He also did speaking tours, and everyone that heard him speak could see the truth unfold from the words he wrote and spoke. Now, he spoke about things as diverse as the assassination of JFK and the Zapruder film. He bought one of the masters made off of the original 8mm Zapruder film. I have a copy of it, and it's run at various different speeds at high resolution. And I'm telling you, folks, you can see that the driver turned around and shot JFK. And this whole magic bullet thing is a joke. So he was a lucid, rational, powerful speaker. He had a purpose, and his purpose was to inform and empower we the people. And a lot of his events were standing room only. This guy was a phenom, and he was a threat to the establishment. Bill Clinton actually called him out as one of the most dangerous men in America. And at the height of it all, when I was working with Kaji, we had a newspaper that we published on a semi-regular basis, about once a month, maybe twice a month, and it went to every member of Congress in every government leadership office, and along with the White House. This was during the Clinton administration. And I have every copy of that newspaper here called Veritas. So he clearly addressed issues in a way that were nonpartisan. He had a striking impact on all of his listeners from any background they may have come from, conservative, liberal, left, right. It didn't matter because this man was speaking truth. And he spoke to so many groups throughout the U.S., and he appeared regularly with his own radio show and as guests on others. And in 1988, he decided that it was time to start all this. So he started the Hour of the Time. He worked on the book. And there were a lot of things he very correctly predicted, from the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain to the invasion of Panama. And his predictions are all on record. He predicted 9/11 before it happened, folks. Now, he wasn't a psychic, but what he did is he would take this information and he would connect the dots. And he had this group called Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, CAGI, and I was a member of it. And you can see a lot of the result of the research that he and many others did in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. Now, there's a lot of criticism of it, and I own a first edition copy of it. And unfortunately, the revised edition that's available on Amazon and other places, even like Target, excludes what a lot of people refer to as the hateful forgery of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. But I'm telling you, folks, I knew this man, and he had a temper, and we've talked about that in the past. But had Cooper known it was a forgery, he would have never included it in his book. And I'm telling you this, he would have never allowed an edition to be published that removed it. But right now, folks, that's enough on what I know about Bill Cooper. And right now it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So, today, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to wind the clock back. We're going to wind it back to WW2, World War II, and we're going to talk about a Harvard economic research project from World War II that detailed a plan for control of the populace by manipulating society through the education system, economics, and politics. It's kind of like what we heard in Gaslight Me with PsyOps, where they said they weaponized our emotions. Well, in Bill Cooper's classic, Behold a Pale Horse, he devoted an entire chapter, Silent Weapons for Quiet War. And I'm telling you, it revealed the psychopathic mindset of the ruling elite. You know, we just heard Klaus Schwab a little bit ago talking about how they want to rule over the herd, the goyim. And we heard how his top advisor, Yuval Hari Noah, or Noah Hari, whatever his name is, the psychopath, calls us useless, and how they're going to manage us with drugs and video games, you know, the metaverse. Anyways, too many of us, what they refer to as the herd, are just dutifully falling into their hands right now. I'm telling you, Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, should be a must-read by every person alive today. Now, in that, and we want to focus on this right now, there's an entire chapter dedicated to quiet wars. And it was an introduction programming manual uncovered accidentally. This is how the story goes, back in 1986 by an employee of Boeing Aircraft who bought an old copier, an IBM copier, for scrap parts. And inside the copier, he found the document. You know how those big office copiers will scan all the pages and then make a copy or make multiple copies, and they could collate and staple and do all that fun stuff. Well, I guess the original document was still in the feeder when he purchased it. And they came a book known as Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Now, as I was preparing my narrative for this and getting my talking points together, I stumbled on this report known as the Brown Report, titled Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Now, it's a 6-minute and 11-second clip, and it does a very good job describing everything I was going to tell you better than I could ever do it. So let's just listen to the Brown Report, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars is an introduction programming manual that was uncovered accidentally in 1986 by an employee of Boeing Aircraft who bought an IBM copier for scrap parts at a sale. Inside that copier were the details of a plan which called for control of the populace, utilizing a manipulation of society via traditional pastimes, the educational system, and political beliefs. An operations research manual that served as a technical declaration of a domestic and biological war upon humanity. Its origins come from the Harvard Economic Research Project from 1948, a creation of World War II operations research. Its aim was to control an economy beginning with the American economy and then the global economy. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling society, but more efficient computers utilizing analysis and automation, correlating massive amounts of constantly changing data, were necessary in order to social engineer an unsuspecting population in order to race ahead of the targeted society and predict when society would arrive for capitulation.
The power to hack human beings can of course be used for good purposes, like providing much better healthcare. But if this power falls into the hands of a 21st century Stalin, the result will be the worst totalitarian regime in human history, and we already have a number of applicants for the job.
Passage from the document reads, "Since energy is the key to all activity on the face of the earth, it follows that in order to attain a monopoly of energy, raw materials, goods and services, and to establish a world system of slave labor, it is necessary to have a first strike capability in the field of economics. In order to maintain our position, it is necessary that we have absolute first knowledge of the science of control over all economic factors and the first experience at engineering the world economy. Eventually, every individual element of this structural automation comes under computer control by manipulating their personal preferences."
The anti-vaxxers are out there, they are loud, and this has become personal. I just wanted to ask, like, how are you managing that?
Well, it's kind of weird. So it's somewhat ironic to have somebody turn around and say, no, you know, we're using vaccines to kill people or to make money, or, you know, we started the pandemic. Even some strange things like that, I somehow want to track, you know, the location of individuals because I'm so deeply desirous to know where everybody is. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that information.
For the first time in history, it's possible to completely eliminate privacy. It was just never possible before, and it is possible now. Something fundamental has changed. When dictators always dreamt about completely eliminating privacy, monitoring everybody all the time and knowing everything you do, and not just everything you do, but even everything you think and everything you feel. Whether it's a tyrant in ancient Greece or whether it's Stalin, they always dreamt about it. They could never do it because it was technically impossible. Now it's possible.
Meanwhile, the silent weapon is applied gradually. The public reaches a point that they can no longer tolerate, and the silent weapon is then dialed down, and then dialed back up to increase pressure on the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is equally expected from this silent weapon by its creators, different only in its own manner of functioning. Therefore, the silent weapon embedded in our day-to-day lives is no different than an ordinary weapon, but rather than firing bullets, it unleashes propaganda at a specified moment, propelled by data processing under the orders of a Bilderberg-attending banking magnate instead of a military general.
When everybody has to wear a biometric bracelet, which constantly monitors your blood pressure, your heart rate, your brain activity, 24 hours a day, you listen to a speech on the radio by the great leader, and they know what you actually feel. You can clap your hand and smile, but if you're angry, they know you'll be in the gulag tomorrow morning.
When Homo sapiens became much smarter than other primates, I pushed all the other ones into small habitats. There's in the way. You can make a swarm of assassin drones for very little money by just taking the Face ID chip that's used in cell phones and having a small explosive charge and a standard drone. and have them just do a grid sweep of the building until they find the person they're looking for, ram into them, and explode.
The public cannot comprehend this weapon and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon that doesn't appear to exist. The gaslighting by those wielding the weapon causes the public to assume that there is nowhere to turn to for help aside from those in control. The more awareness of this diabolical weapon of social engineering, the more likely a revolution will truly begin against the impending New World Order. John Bound reporting.
Infowars.com/
So, folks, you heard it there from Mr. Brown. And again, Infowars is doing a lot of good, so I truly hope they make a correction concerning the misinformation that they published on last week's emergency broadcast. This is all about integrity in the news. But back to what I wanted to say, folks. Operations Research Manual that Mr. Brown mentioned served as a technical declaration of essentially a domestic war upon humanity. Think about this. Its origins came from that Harvard Economic Research Project that he mentioned, the creation of a World War II operations research program. And it, like he said, it was aimed at controlling the economy, beginning with the American economy and then going globally. And they've accomplished that now. They're at that point. And it was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for total control of society. And isn't that what they're doing right now? Can't you see this all coming out? Remember we heard Yuval Noah Harari talk about how the new economy is going to be based on energy and energy of humans. And doesn't this kind of fit everything that we saw in The Matrix? Can't you see all this coming together? So as computers get more efficient, they're going to use AI and automation to take massive amounts of ever-changing data and use it to impose upon us a social credit score and then either reward us or punish us based on our behaviors. And that's how they're going to control the remaining 500 million people after they wipe out 95% of the population. So up to this time, computers were so slow, they needed fast response. And they have it now with 5G supercomputers. So the one thing the globalists don't get is that we are mind, body, spirit beings. We're not just mind and body. We do have free will. So there are silicone-enhanced mechanical bodies that they're creating in laboratories that they intend to uplink or upload their mind into and live forever, are incapable of supporting the spirit. So whatever that thing is that they uplink your brain to will not be you, because without spirit, there's no communication with God, our creator, and there's no individual free will, because all they're going to do is put your memories up there. They're not going to have your emotions and your willpower. So even if they can survive the procedure, and you could see that in some of these shows on the streaming services. The one was uplink or upload. We talked about that before. They're going to regress. They're not going to advance. This won't be human 2.0. They may be even lower than the computers that they're using to affect this with. So this is freaky deaky. It truly is. And how does it apply to the news today? Well, take your pick. I didn't pick one news story. Just take your pick. And you can see it. It's everywhere. Take a topic like the scamdemic and take any news story. It's there. Or how about something involving the war in Ukraine or the scam involving the collapse of our supply chain? And then don't even get me started on petroleum and everything they're trying to do with that. And the petrodollar and our food supply. Need I go on? This is all outlined in this document, this operations research manual, Silent Weapons for Quiet War. Now, all of this information and all of this knowledge and all of this truth parting, it drains being psychically and spiritually. These are spiritual vampires of sort, folks, and they rob us of all of our righteousness, peace, and joy. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, change your life because, like I said in the opening, God's kingdom is here. So whether or not, and I opened with this too, whether or not you know it, you're a member of a group. And as we associate with different groups, those associations influence our thoughts and our words and our actions. And I, quite honestly, I don't know anyone in this world who wouldn't want to have righteousness, peace, and joy. I mean, come on. Everybody wants that, don't they? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'm telling you, folks, it's possible here and now to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the midst of all this craziness if you're in the Spirit, if you hang out with the right crowd. So let's not miss out on the truth in this matter, folks. Stay tuned. Don't hang up now, but stay tuned and learn how you can live in righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, I have a question for you. Do you have a Bible? Well, if you do, have you ever picked it up and asked yourself, what's the point of this book with all these old stories and all these strange proverbs and weird psalms and crazy poetry? What's it all about? Well, I'm telling you, it's a message from the kingdom, from the king of his kingdom to us, his beloved. Now, did you ever notice how groups encourage you? Oh, and by the way, I have to give credit where credit is due. I took these from my notes from last week's message from our pastor, Pastor Todd. He was on fire last week. And if you want to listen to it, just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll send you a copy of his sermon. But these are just some of my notes from it. This has happened so many times with Pastor Todd. I'm preparing what I would like to share with all of you in the upcoming week. And I start that after this show. I start putting my thoughts together, and I try to draw some synergies from last week's show. And I'm sitting there last week at church, and it's like, oh, dear God, this is exactly what I was going to talk about. Folks, this happened over and over and over again. And I tell you, I believe that's the Holy Spirit. But anyways, let's get back to what I wanted to share with you concerning the kingdom. So regardless of the group you're in, the group tries to encourage you to support them. And one of the ways you can support them is by thinking like them, voting like them, hating like them, loving like them. And the place where these like-minded people get together and hang out today, for the most part, is social media. And it doesn't matter. You can take your flavor of reality, and you can find it out there somewhere. Now, all of these people are kingdom builders of some sort or another, but not all kingdoms are kingdoms that I would want to belong to personally. Think about how dark you'd have to be in some of these like Megadeth groups that are into all that dark Megadeth rock and roll, and they're into all the black, and they wear all that very dark type of clothing and tattoos and piercings. I wouldn't want to be into that. And I'm not speaking out against tattoos or piercings. I'm talking about that ultra-dark, demonic type. You know what I'm talking about. Well, Jesus also told us about a kingdom. And he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, remember, he said that because he, the king of the kingdom, was here on earth, manifesting in flesh and blood as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now imagine what it would be like if everyone on this entire earth would repent and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Think about the impact that would have on the world around us. What would it change? Well, in one word, everything. Think about it. If the entire world repented and entered into the kingdom of heaven and righteousness, peace, and joy abounded. You know, there's a really good quote out there that Pastor Todd read last week, and I didn't have a chance to pull it up. It was from Pastor Jack Hayford, but he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he said it's not a new nuance, and it's compelled by truth. And he said the king of this kingdom, Jesus Christ, has come to destroy the works of the devil and there's a confrontation with a power that doesn't belong here, and that power is the usurper himself, Satan. His power he now possesses is usurped, folks. It's like if you saw a rattlesnake, you cut its head off. You know, that rattlesnake, the head of that rattlesnake could still bite you, even though he's been severed from his body, even though he's been cut off, even though he's been literally killed, until the nervous energy in the head of that snake is totally quenched, that snake can bite you. Well, that's the same power that Satan operates in right now. He's operating in a usurped power because Jesus said that he's been defeated. Telestai, it's finished, you know? The prince of this world is defeated. Look at him as a usurper. But I recognize that that usurper can still kill and destroy. Now, Satan beguiled Eve, and that's how the fall occurred. And it changed everything in terms of the dynamic between man and God and man's righteous authority over earth. You know, originally, Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth. But when they fell in the garden, as the Genesis 3 account tells us, that was all lost to Satan. So what Jesus said millennia later when he appeared here on earth is to repent, to change your mind, to turn your way, turn from your wicked ways to the righteous ways of my kingdom. Now, do you think that when you hear these preachers at county fairs on soapboxes standing up there yelling, "Repent, for judgment is at hand," do you think that's very effective? You think that's a very good way to try to get the message out? Well, I'll give you the answer to that. No, it's not, because that just turns a lot of people off. What Jesus was trying to do when he said repent is he was trying to show you the way. His action, through his words, through his miracles. So he wasn't up there pounding on the box and saying, "Turn or burn." That doesn't work. Now, in truth, repent isn't a thing. It's actually to turn away and think differently. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Future, we can cover that. I'm just telling you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So change your way, folks. Stop this system. Stop trusting liars. Stop stealing and killing and destroying. Let your fire for all as generations to us. Jesus, he literally gave up. And life and joy isn't afforded to you through these works of the law, but rather by grace through Jesus Christ. Now, once you're under grace and once you've been blessed by this new life in Christ and you have eternal life, then you're going to want to abide in the law. But it's not by following the law that you're justified. It's by trusting in the Lord. It's by putting your hands up in the air and saying, "Forsaking all, I trust him." By doing that, by trusting Jesus, you have imputed righteousness. And then the peace of God and peace with God follows along with joy. You know, our strength is our joy in the Lord. So let's think about this. What's righteousness mean? Well, the world tells us that it's being in the right state that one ought to be in. So let me ask you a question. Are you in the right state? Well, that's a loaded question in a sense, because we are in Christ in one sense as believers. And then in another sense, still in our flesh bodies. And the Bible talks about that. St. Paul gave a great teaching on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. So you ought to read that, okay? But it, like I said, it's a loaded question. Now, the world says that peace means a state of tranquility and quietness, you know, such as a freedom from civil disturbance or a state of security because you're at peace. And, you know, the Founding Fathers warned that if we surrender some of our freedom for some peace and security, soon we'll have neither. But that's not, you know, there's all sorts of these worldly definitions for these words. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. Stalin even said that the meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. But the Bible teaches that peace is being made right with God through Jesus Christ. And not only do we have peace with God, but then we can partake in the peace of God, which is literally a fruit of the Spirit. And that's when you have this total, absolute sense of serenity, total absolute sense of contentment in the midst of all this chaos. And folks, I'm telling you, that's possible when you enter into the kingdom. So that's what we're going over here. And that's why it's so important to be careful what group or kingdom you actually follow. Righteousness is all those things we talked about before, but it's also a moral right or a justifiable decision arising from an outraged sense of justice. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's not fair. God ought to be fair. No, you don't want God to be fair, folks. You want God to be merciful. Because if God's fair, he'd give you what you deserve, and what you deserve is judgment. But God's using his grace and his mercy to forestall or to forego what you deserve and give you what you need, which is salvation. So praise the Lord for that. Now, the Bible tells us that this righteousness of Christ is literally imputed to you and me when we surrender and become born again. Now, wouldn't you like Jesus Christ to come into your life right now and just work with you, mentor you, like I was mentored by Bill Cooper and Michelle Moore and many other people over the years to help me understand and to see the truth? But wouldn't you love it if Jesus could come and mentor you and point out all of your stinking thinking and your wrong ways? Imagine that. Now, after the initial discomfort of knowing that Jesus is there with you, and I'd fall on my face just like St. John did in Revelation. But let's just say you get through all of that, and he says, fear not, and then you start to walk by his side. Think about all the coaching he could give you, all the mentoring he could give you to show you how to do it right all the time. Now, we have to be aware that most of us aren't in our right minds most of the time in this crazy world today. And I can see that all around me, in my own life included, because I don't see a lot of righteousness, peace, and joy all the time. Now, remember, we have to perceive this, and we have to appropriate it, and we have to act upon it. And when we understand this stuff, it changes the way we think. And really, that's how the fall occurred. If you read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, you see that the serpent, the Bible tells us here in this account, that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which with the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So there were things going on there, and it all happened in the theater of the mind, so to speak. And it was the inoculation of some stinking thinking. And, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And the point here is that Satan started to have Eve question God. And then Eve started to reaccount what God said and added to it. And we're never to add to or take away from the word of God. God never said you can't touch it. He said you shouldn't eat it or you'll die. And then Satan said, well, surely you're not going to die. And he was doing a play on words. He was saying, well, you're not going to die physically if you do that. Well, that's not what God meant. God meant you'd die spiritually. And you'd start to have this slow decline of your soul as you started to embrace stinking thinking, and then ultimately it would lead to physical death. Now, you may never have heard that before, but there are three deaths. There's a physical death, there's a soul death, and there's a spiritual death. And God was warning against a spiritual death, being severed from fellowship and communion with God through the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. Now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of truth here in Genesis chapter 3, and I encourage you to read verses 1 through 7. I'm not going to read 5 through 7. You can read that on your own. But there's lots of truth there. And really what happened is Eve's perception of reality was being changed by Satan. And isn't that what they're doing right now with all these things we talked about earlier in the show? And aren't they putting doubt in your mind concerning what's right and what's wrong? Well, that's what Satan did to Eve. And then she misquoted scripture, and she had her mind changed by a lie. And notice how she bought the lie before she ate the fruit. Now, we all know that God is good. So imagine how much better it would be if we knew this good God in relationship in the midst of all this bad. That's why you can literally have righteousness, peace, and joy here in the midst of all this craziness if you just repent and trust, and then trust and obey. The life lived with God and knowing God versus a life lived in evil and thinking and deceptions is so vastly different. Remember, Jesus came to establish relationship between you and me and him. He gave that gift to us, folks. It's there for the taking. Yet deception stole this truth, and Jesus came to restore it by grace. So the Bible reads in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Did you hear that, folks? That he, that Jesus, might destroy the works of the devil. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he was here. Now, there's a lot of sadness in this world. And Pastor Todd pointed out what's going on in a lot of the Indian reservations across this country, and he focused on one in particular, and the White Earth Reservation. There's a lot of sadness there from false religion, various vices of any sort, drug abuse, suicides. There's two people out there, and I'd like you to pray for them, Pastor Tim and his wife, Tammy. And I just want to ask you this. Imagine if that one little part of God's creation, the White Earth Reservation out in Minnesota, entered into the kingdom of God. Just imagine how life could be reestablished if the lies involving drugs and other sorts of vices, from prostitution to alcohol, were all exposed for what they are. Just imagine what that would do. So let me ask you a question. Whether it's the White Earth Reservation or your little neighborhood or your family or just you, kingdom is that in? What kingdom are you in? Think about it. These groups want you to be like them and embrace what they believe for whatever reason. But unless it's the kingdom of heaven, it's a lie, folks. So Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and he said we're to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." But when you pray that, folks, don't be so naive to think that you're just going to skip it all the trials and all the tribulations, and go directly to heaven. That's not how it works. There's something we must do in the interim. And the Bible tells us that in the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 14, where it says, "In this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So remember, the King, Jesus, that's King Jesus, has come, why? To destroy the works of the enemy here and now before he returns to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So, folks, don't forget this. And realize that you can have righteousness, peace, and joy right now. And as we wrap this up, folks, I'd just like to pray for our areas, our homes, our families, our communities, our counties, where we're going to work hard and diligently to take back local government. And then I want to pray with you right now for Pastor Tim and Tammy out on the White Earth Reservation in Minnesota. Pray that they can be used by the Holy Spirit to change the thinking of these people who are being killed, stolen from, and destroyed by the works of the enemy, and in place receive righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the work you're doing all around the world right now, waking people up. And then, folks, I want to encourage you all as you go out this week and share the gospel, and please, share this message with people. We need to get the word out. So please post it on your social media. Share it with friends. Email it on your email list and let people know that there is a way to have righteousness, peace, and joy right now in the Holy Spirit. And never give in. Never give in. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Most High God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he lives in you and me, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp, the same power.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus. Oh, in victory.